From Capital Public Radio in Sacramento, this is Insight. I'm Beth Ruyak. In a few days, President Donald Trump could be impeached. Saying that sentence alone tells you where we are in history. A vote on the floor of the House of Representatives is scheduled Wednesday. You will hear NPR's special coverage that day, perhaps continuing into Thursday. Then Thursday night, a debate is scheduled in Los Angeles for seven of the Democrats running for president. It could be canceled. We'll hear why in a moment. What a week this is going to be. Carla Marinucci's in the studio with me. She is a political reporter, the co-writer of Politico's California Playbook. You might know her award-winning writing before that for the San Francisco Chronicle. This is a treat to have you in the studio.
So great to be here.
Welcome.
Really,
and why are you in Sacramento? Some assignment.
Yes. Interviews and assignments and always working with the California Playbook.
So. Okay, let's talk about the debate because Politico is a sponsor. So I figure somehow you have the inside track. You're supposed to be there Thursday.
That's right. We will be there. We have Politico has a huge team there, including Jeremy B. White, my co-author on the Playbook. And we're going to be doing interviews with Eric Garcetti and other newsmakers down there. So, yeah, we have a whole series of events planned around the debate, which is why the stakes are very high.
Will you explain the controversy, the labor issue, and how this has unfolded? And if everybody decides they don't want to cross a picket line and there
which
are no
they
shows.
Have. All seven of the Democratic candidates so far have been siding with the union and are threatening not to cross that picket line. It all, you know, this is the second time it's been moved. It was originally at UCLA. There was an issue with AFSCME, another major union. But basically, it's the workers who are represented by Unite Here Local 11 that have been picketing since November. And they have an issue with Sodexo, the subcontractor that employs about 150 of them down at Loyola Marymount, where the debate is scheduled. They're saying they're not getting, negotiations. They're not getting a contract. And they have basically set up a picket line for Thursday. That set off all the Democratic candidates on Friday and set off a panic down there at Loyola Marymount. It sounds like talks are going on, and we're hoping that it's going to come off on Thursday. This is a very big event in the presidential calendar. It's a chance to see a reduced number of candidates and really have a more substantive discussion. So, we're really hoping that it's going to happen.
At the same time, the actual impeachment vote could happen Thursday.
Yeah. I mean, this is a week, as you said.
Yeah.
We've got that. You've got issues over potential government shutdown. There's only 5 days until the government shuts down. The Democrats are bracing for that. You've got the USMCA issues. You've got a lot of stuff happening in Washington, where I just came from. And now I think a lot of this is going to be brought up at the debate. Hopefully we'll get to talk to the candidates.
How is the atmosphere in Washington?
You know, I followed Nancy Pelosi around on the day that the of a critical impeachment vote, on the day the USMCA was announced. It is exhausting following her from morning till night. She does. This was a series of, I think, seven different events, including a big holiday party, including, she's, she's 79 years old, but you cannot imagine she is the Energizer Bunny of politics in Washington. And I think people on both sides have a tremendous amount of respect for her when it comes to that. Notwithstanding, the president every day is tweeting about her, including last night, I think it was, a rather insulting tweet with regard to Nancy Pelosi. But she doesn't. It just goes right off her back. She doesn't seem to be able to.
I have heard from people in California who know her that this has been a very difficult internal process for her. That this has not been just a case of take the next step that's in the book. Here's where you're supposed to go next.
Right.
That she herself has been embattled through it all.
Yeah. I mean, as we know, in the beginning, she wanted this to be a bipartisan process and said that that would be much better for the country. And so I think she was really torn. But some of the revelations about the Ukraine have just been, as she said, something the Democrats cannot ignore. And she has a team, including Adam Schiff and Gerald Nadler, behind her. And yes, this is a historic week. And watching her in several of those press conferences last week, she doesn't seem to be taking any great pleasure in it, really, but feels like this is something that the Democrats have to confront, and she's hoping that some of the Republicans will too, with regard to overstep by the president and overreach with regard to Congress. We're going to see how it plays out on Wednesday, whether they're going to get any of those bipartisan votes. It certainly doesn't look like they will. But the Democrats are going to forge ahead, and boy, we're in for a whirlwind here.
I have to ask you, after having covered her for many, many years, and you've seen her through mm-hmm. a long span, where is she in her life? The president often criticizes her and talks about yeah. her age or her mental faculties yeah. or whatever.
Yeah, or her teeth yesterday and yeah. on Twitter. I mean, it's just
comparing to what you know. And while you answer, I'm going to adjust your mic.
I think she has said many times that, you know, basically you have to have a skin of a lizard in politics. You can't let this any of this stuff distract you. And she doesn't. She is singularly focused. And I think we saw an insight into her last week when one of the reporters asked if she hated President Trump, and she responded very passionately. Watching her last week in Washington, you just see somebody who has her caucus with her. And you know, she's famous for counting votes and knowing exactly where she stands. She is extremely effective at what she does. And I think President Trump's tweets suggest that she's more than effective. She's in his mind. She's gotten under his skin in a very big way. I think that the Democrats wouldn't have gotten nearly as far as without Pelosi's leadership and her very calm kind of approach to this whole thing. So the nation is going to be watching how this plays out. And she's certainly the focus of attack on the Republican side, but they also admire her greatly. You can hear that. In fact, we had Laura Trump at a Politico event last week, Women Rule. That's one of the events we have. Laura Trump, the daughter-in-law of the president, asked who she most admires on the Democratic side, said Nancy Pelosi is the person she most admires because she's been in the game so long. She's willing to throw down with anybody, but she does it out of what she believes to be service to the country. So that was from Laura Trump, which I thought was kind of interesting.
Hmm. Carla Marinucci is in the studio with me. A couple topics I want to hit quickly, but important to hit. When we talked last and we talked about candidates on the top of the polls and coming and going in California, we didn't give due time to Bernie Sanders.
No, we didn't. That was my fault.
Kind of got called out on that, too. And that was an
I was trying
oversight.
To list all the candidates that were going to be at the debate. And I knew I had forgotten somebody and I forgot Bernie.
Yeah, but I didn't help you out either.
Bernie is here in California this week in a very huge way. I mean, he's doing an opening of his Coachella office today. He's doing town halls in Moreno Valley, in San Ysidro, in Los Angeles this week, with in Venice on Saturday with AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. That is going to be a huge event. You know, he had a little bit of, his campaign had a little bit of a setback in their endorsement of the a congressional candidate in the 25th district, Cenk Uygur, I hope I'm pronouncing his name right, who was the founder of the Young Turks sort of liberal website, who had been accused of making homophobic, misogynistic comments as a radio host. He has apologized, but the fact is just about all of the Democratic establishment has gone with the other candidate, Christy Smith, the assemblywoman. So that was a little bit of a setback for the Bernie campaign. But boy, he is all over California. And, of course, the polls are showing good news for Bernie Sanders here. I think the CNN poll recently has him just a point or two behind Joe Biden. It's really a sort of a neck and neck thing right now. He's got a very strong campaign in California.
Do you think Kamala Harris voters, a good portion,
it's hard to know where some of them are going. You know, we watched Sam Liccardo, the mayor of mm-hmm. San Jose last week, who was a very strong Kamala supporter, go with Michael Bloomberg. Michael Tubbs, the mayor of Stockton, also was about to endorse for Kamala Harris, went with Michael Bloomberg. Kamala Harris's supporters, her endorsement are going to be very important, I think. People are going to be watching where she goes. But at this point, I think all of the candidates are vying for those supporters. And we're seeing Pete Buttigieg here in California today. Another huge agenda of back-to-back fundraisers, including, as we speak, one in Silicon Valley that has really some of the royalty of Silicon Valley showing up there in Palo Alto. So we're going to be watching his events today, and they are going all day and all night. He's got Napa Valley. He's got San Francisco later tonight.
Seeing some of these itineraries, I don't know how
it's just incredible. He's actually been in California more than any other candidate with the number of fundraisers he's doing.
Jennifer Rubin, the ranking committee, wrote an opinion piece in the Washington Post ranking 15 people who could be considered for the Democratic running mate to the nominee. At the top of the list, Kamala Harris. You know, Stacey Abrams, number two.
Fascinating.
Yeah.
You know, I talked to Willie Brown on this last week. Of course, former mayor of San Francisco, former Ayatollah of the Assembly.
Never holding back on his opinions.
Never holding back. He was meeting on one day with Michael Bloomberg, with Joe Biden, and with Deval Patrick last week in San Francisco. And I said, you know, what's up with Deval Patrick's campaign? And he said, essentially, he's running for vice president. And, you know, that's basically what you do. If you're running for vice president, you don't run for president. That's kind of what Kamala should have done. I'm paraphrasing him, but he basically said, you know, he suggested she was running for vice president all along and maybe should never have gotten into the big race at all.
Huh. Well, he's seventh on the list, so he's kind of in the middle of the pack.
Patrick.
Interestingly,
yes.
Elizabeth Warren is below him.
Yeah.
By the way, in that same article, she cites that Joe Biden is floating the idea, or people around him are floating the idea of serving only one term.
Yes.
If he gets elected.
That's right. Politico first reported that. You know, with Joe Biden's age, he's the oldest in the field. There are people, and there's been a lot of commentary on whether he's up to it, some of his debate performances. I think a lot of people will be watching this week to see how he does. Of course, no candidate is going to say, yes, I'm only in it for one term. But there are a lot of Democrats out there suggesting that Biden is the guy most likely to take out Donald Trump, to beat Donald Trump. And then that could kind of put the country back on a sort of trajectory of normalcy. That's what you're hearing from the Democrats. And then they could move on to look toward the future.
So the politics,
a placeholder, in other words. But no candidate wants to exactly admit to being that, if that's the case.
The politics pendulum swings pretty hard one way and then the other. At some point, do we get a little bit of moderation in the middle?
It's interesting. You know, certainly when people are looking at, you know, the future and 2024, you can't count on Gavin Newsom. You know, he has an interview in USA Today where he says today, honestly, no, that's not what I'm looking at. But I think anyone in Sacramento will tell you when they look at future candidates for president, certainly Gavin Newsom's name is mentioned. So when we talk about moderation and where the party's going, that's it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out here. It's still very early in the process, but California has, as you know, the lion's share of delegates on that Super Tuesday primary, which is why Bloomberg is here, as he was last week, and spending money everywhere he's going, dropping it all over the place with cities. And that's why he's getting these big city mayors, I think, behind him. Sam Liccardo of San Jose, being in the center of Silicon Valley, is a huge get for Michael Bloomberg. And so is Michael Tubbs. So we'll see how he does. If he can do a all-media campaign. I mean, he's already spent almost $15 million in California. That's more than most of these candidates have spent sort of combined.
Mm-hmm. And then the free media on top of it.
And the free media on top of it. So, Michael, you're seeing his ads nonstop out there. And that is the way in California
to reach Tom Steyer ads.
Yeah, right. Yeah, he's making Tom Steyer ads look small.
Right.
So it's going to be interesting to see how he does in the polls. But he's certainly going for that lion's share of those 419 delegates that are available and up for grabs on March 3rd.
You said Governor Gavin Newsom, he rejected PG&E's reorganization plan. That rippled across the country. That was enormous news, and it leaves everybody thinking, okay, now what?
Yeah, I mean, Look, the governor knows and made it very clear that the kind of power outages we experienced, a couple of months ago are not going to be the new normal. They cannot be for his, not only for his political future, but for California. He knows that's the one thing he has to get across. And so when he put out this announcement on Friday night, basically saying that the current plan falls woefully short, that's the way he put it, and then suggesting, an entirely new board and a new option for takeover.
Right.
This is a game changer. This basically, puts the company in the bind of having to come up with something. I mean, a judge is going to be looking at this tomorrow. They've got to come up with something to address the concerns. And Newsom made it very, very clear that it is not good enough, what PG&E has proposed. This is an issue of major concern, not only to the ratepayers of PG&E, but you're looking at the shareholders and you're looking at the nation as a whole. Is watching what's happening in PG&E, especially as people like Mayor Sam Liccardo of San Jose are suggesting a customer-owned utility. There's other plans out there for takeover. And I think Newsom knows the stakes are very, very high. The country is watching. That announcement on Friday night made national news, and he's got to get this done. So this is really job one for him, along with the other job one, which is housing and homelessness. Mm-hmm. And that's where California is at right now.
I want us to stay with that in our minds as we leave this segment, but I can't ignore the fact that Carly Fiorina spoke out today on impeachment.
Yes, I thought that was fascinating. Carly Fiorina, of course, former Republican candidate for president, former U.S. Senate candidate here in California, former HP CEO, one of the few women that has ever managed a Fortune 20 company. And yes, she came out today saying that impeachment is the right thing to do for the president. She's one of the first major Republicans to do so. As you know, she took some hits from Donald Trump back there in the campaign. Remember, he made some disparaging remarks about her face.
Right.
But the fact is, highly respected in business and highly respected in Republican circles. So we'll see what kind of impact that has and whether anyone's going to follow in her footsteps.
All right. Standing invitation in 2020 to join us again, okay?
Always happy to be here.
It is going to be a wild frontier.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Carla.
Thanks for having me.
And happy holidays,
okay,
too.
Okay, same to you.
Carla Marinucci of Politico's California Playbook. We'll post a link to the Playbook website, and you can find all of her columns. That link is at capradio.org/insight. You're listening to Insight on your NPR station, Cap Radio.